ICANN is always called upon to expand its mission, to take on all of the world's ills, worry about hunger and poverty and world peace, ecology, and we've added a new mission of physical stamina and fitness. And I see that we have a long ways to go.
This is the important crowd.
Well, half of life is just showing up, right? Maybe more than half. Thank you all for coming. This is the first of three formal sessions this morning. This is the ICANN board committee reports, followed by the reports from the supporting organizations and advisory committees, and followed by a formal open board meeting. We'll just start right in, and we have the reports organized in alphabetical order. There we go. So here are committees, and in addition to the ones that are listed here, I'll ask George Sadowski, who is chairing our CEO search committee, which is of temporary nature, which is very nice to know, to also come in. And George, I'll just call on you at the end.
Sure.
Okay. So, Erica, it's your turn.
Thank you so much, Steve, and hello to everyone. Good morning. We had our, this week on Thursday, our audit committee meeting, and the members which are part of it is Bill Graham, Gonzalo Navarro, Judith Vasquez, and myself as the chair. We are supported by staffers from Akram Atala, Savi Calves, and Ami Stratos, and I want to thank particular Javier, because it's such a huge amount of work he's carrying in the moment, so a particular thank you to him. The first thing which was on our agenda and was, again, just briefly to reflect on the interviewed executive members and discussed how we can carry forward best practices with them. So just to give you a short overview, in March 2011, we interviewed Akram Atala, in June 2011, John Jeffrey, and in October 2011, Javier Calves, and we are still hopeful that we can manage this week our discussion with Kurt Pritz. It's a busy week, so sometimes the planned agendas are not always working out the way one wants it. Second topic on the agenda is the review and approved recommendation to appoint independent auditors for the FY12. Now, we had an intensive discussion this time because we had this, the auditors, the independent auditors we are working with, since 2012, so we had an intensive discussion how to continue our working cooperation. We have a relationship, a working relationship with Moss Adams, and we feel confident to recommend again that they do the audit review for the fiscal year ending in June 2012. What we looked into is that we like to have stability. This independent firm knows the ICANN operation very well, saw it evolving over many years, is very familiar with our environment. So because of the changes which occurred in the finance organization and the historical knowledge by the auditor of ICANN, we feel very confident to give them the audit for the year 2012. We did this in particular with the light of the new TLD program. The definition of specific accounting guidance is extremely important in this case. And again, Adams has the greatest knowledge and of our environment and operation and of this specific program. Though it is still in the very early phase, nonetheless, our confidence is there to give this work to Moss Adams again. We continued our discussion with our work plan, which we do each time. Now, the work plan is it's a very interesting work plan because it covers, let me see, five topics. So the annual audit, which has different categories, the business review, organizational task, internal controls, and other topics. Now, this work program evolved over the years since the audit committee started its work. So we had particular in the light that we have two newly elected members of the committee an intensive discussion and looked really into the details. I don't want to give you all the specific points because it just simply be too long. But anybody who wants to have a deeper understanding how we did it, please feel free to come either to myself or to the committee members, and we are happy to explain in more detail the topic to you. Now, the last point on our agenda was to look ahead and into the near future. I explained to my committee chair that I would love to have a more intensive discussion with appropriate staff members to review the audit committee charter as well as the work plan as much as it reflects to our work in relation to the charter. We will do this. Our idea is to conclude this by summer, but since we have such an intensive workload, all of us, it may take a little bit longer, but this is nonetheless it's our goal. So our idea is to review it, to understand if we have to carry on new work, which comes from the new TLD environment. As soon as we have clarification about this, we will bring this back to the committee and then to the full board, and happy to afterwards to report to you all. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you very much, Erica. I noticed that the slide package that's queued up was missing some of your slides, and I apologize to everyone for that. And I also neglected to, in my opening remarks, to mention the important point that these reports are all posted online. There's a URL, http://costaRica43.icann.org/node/29741. I'm sure you all caught that quickly. 29741. These reports should be easily navigable on our brand new website. No problem at all. Marilyn.
I'd like to open my comments with a broad recognition statement and thank the board and the staff for making these reports available in a public setting. I would urge you not to consider not to have these meetings. In short, you must have these meetings. And you should not think that because the room is not filled, that this is not an important communication. Sometimes it looks challenging if you're on that side of the table and you look out at an empty room or a somewhat empty room and you're asking yourself if anyone cares. We do. You're fulfilling part of the affirmation of commitments by doing this. But I think you're also giving us an opportunity that we didn't used to have in these exchanges. And I really want to thank you for that. Now for my specifics. I want to thank the audit committee in particular right now because of the amount of work that you're carrying. And I also want to personally thank Xavier because the commercial stakeholder group that has three constituencies, has organized itself following the role model of the CCNSO to have a budget committee that follows now the strategic plan and the budget of ICANN and will, of course, follow the work of this committee. And we have added to Xavier's calendar by having frequent interactions with him. So I want to thank him publicly, which we have not had an opportunity to do, for the work he's doing with us. At this time, given where we are in the broader environment of risk and opportunities externally, I think that the work we're doing on this in this committee and some of the others is particularly important and shows the commitment that ICANN has to best practices. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Marilyn. So two things I'd like to offer. In the time that I've been on the board, I've come to appreciate the audit committee in particular for it sounds quite dry, and when one gets into it, yes, there are some aspects that are dry, but there are some very sensitive and very, very important probing and insights that are gained, and the impact has been quite important. And from a recruiting point of view, finding people of the talent and experience level of Erica and before her, Rita, is really very, very important to us. On your point about the need for these presentations, there is it's not just a question of how many people are in the room at the moment, but in looking at the enormous pressure that we have on our overall schedule and the double and triple booking that we're all subject to, the extended hours, there's a quite serious problem of how to refactor, if you will, to use a term from software engineering, and make more efficient and more effective use of our time. So the without any interest in backing away from publicly making these reports available, making the people available, providing interaction, it is very much on the table how to make better use of our time. And so just speaking from my own point of view, I've got my eye trained on how to recover not just this hour but the entire day. The economic impact on everybody is quite important in terms of better use of time. So that does not necessarily mean completely eliminating, but it may mean that we won't show up this way this next time.
May I make a response, Mr. Chair?
Absolutely.
That is a decision that I hope you will not make, and I'll explain why. Our work is expanding, and we need to embrace that, not complain that we are now fitting. We have to realize that from the days when we had four staff and we had less than 300 people who came to our meetings and were involved in our work to today, we are taking on more work just by nature of the fact that we're more critically involved, that we have additional things to do. And I know five-day meetings sound like a lot. For a long time, the business constituency complained to me about three meetings a year and five-day meetings. They do not complain to me about that anymore because they want to be here and they want to be involved. So before you make that decision, I would ask that we take a broader look at the work we need to do together and think further before we cut a day or give up on the public interactions.
Thank you very much. All right. Anything further?
Judith Vasquez, Marilyn plus one.
Thank you.
Plus one.
Plus one. We'll tell you about that. Good. Isn't
he cute?
So, Judith, are you putting something
don't
about those books?
Don't take pictures, George. My face is red. I'm sure it'll come right on through. All right. Board Governance Committee, Bruce Tonkin, see if you can top any of this.
Thank you. Steve, if we can just proceed to the next slide. Okay. This is the membership of the Board Governance Committee. It's one of the larger committee. Oops, we jumped. Okay. That's the membership of the committee. It's one of the larger committees of the board and one of the committees that has had many of the recommendations relating to the affirmation and commitments accountability and transparency review team assigned to it. So we're working through those, and I'll mostly comment on sort of updates and progress on some of those. Next slide. This is just, I guess, a summary. So we're looking at 14 of the recommendations currently. Some of them are now getting completed. The recommendation 5 was respect to implementing a compensation scheme for voting board directors. That has now completed, and we will be commencing to compensate those directors that wish to receive that compensation. Next slide. Now, recommendations 23 and 25, we believe those are very important areas for getting right. These are the recommendations that relate to our dispute review processes, if you like, at the board level, and we really have three. So if a member of the community is disputing an action potentially by staff or an action by the board, there are several mechanisms available to them, one of which is the Ombudsman. And we have been reviewing that, and we've had feedback from the current Ombudsman reviewing those procedures, and the initial findings are that those procedures are consistent with sort of international standards in that area. The second area is reconsideration requests. So if you think a decision made by staff or a decision made by the board or you disagree with it for some reason, then we have a reconsideration process. So part of the review there is, what is the scope of such a reconsideration? Is it another group of people looking at the same information? So it's like a second opinion or a second look, or is the same group of people looking at additional information that may not have been available at the time of the initial decision? So these are all just things to consider as to what is the scope of that process. And then another aspect of it is, in what way can it be, what's the level of independence or fresh look that occurs during that exercise. The third mechanism is where it's a completely outside independent review, and we've had one such case, which was in the case of .XXX, and it was a long, expensive process. One of the things to consider is the scope of that process correct? But perhaps one of the biggest areas of focus there is, how can we streamline the process itself? The previous process seemed to be as long or longer than you would expect through a court process, and we're trying to conduct review mechanisms that can be used prior to a party feeling that they need to take the matter to a legal court. So that's things like limiting the number of pages of submission. It's things like having preliminary meetings to establish the facts, etc. So one of the key things in that area will be looking at the process that's used in the independent review. So in all of those matters, very similar to the conflicts of interest policies, the board really wants to get completely outside advice on those mechanisms. And the Board Governance Committee has proceeded to, and it was posted this week, but a request for such experts. So we have a current call for participate or call for experts to assist us with this review of our mechanisms. Next slide.
I'm sorry if I'm out of sequence. Where do you want it?
Can we go back one, sorry? I want to get the one that's got recommendation 6 on it. Maybe back one.
Oh, back one more.
Back one. Okay, recommendation 6. This is really one of the things that's come out of the policy development process around the new GTLD program. So the GNSO recommended a policy to the board, and that was approved in, I believe, June of 2008. So we're now March 2012. So a lot of the concern has been at what stage has some of the actions that have happened since then been very much policy topics that potentially should have gone through the GNSO policy development process, or what aspects are merely staff implementation where they simply seek some community feedback and move forward. So this is another quite complex area, and it's an area that we really need community discussion and buy-in as to where some of those distinctions may lie, and they're probably never a bright line. It's really, you know, ultimately some guidance, and it's obviously going to vary by topic. So some topics that rely on a contracting party to ICANN taking some action, and where ICANN is expected to monitor compliance of that action, they often need to be very detailed policies that need to go through a consensus process through mechanisms such as the GNSO's policy development process. And then there are other policies that relate to perhaps activities of the board or activities of the staff that the implementation is really entirely in our control. We're not relying on third parties, and we can adjust that implementation at any time based on community feedback. So the Board Governance Committee is starting to look at a framework for considering this issue, and we'll go out to public comment once a framework has been developed for discussion. The next one here, recommendation 20, this is perhaps a little simpler, and this is just having mechanisms for certifying that when policy development has been done, that it has properly taken into account the inputs from the community. And one observation I would make is that what we're seeing now is many of the policies are considered to have impacts from stakeholders beyond any one supporting organisation, and we're seeing many more sort of cross-organisation working groups. We're starting to see earlier advice being provided. You know, we're seeing closer interactions between the GAC and the GNSO, between the ALAC and the GNSO, between ALAC and GAC. So, you know, I think it's very promising that we are taking as many inputs into account as possible in our policy development processes. But certainly this can have further clarity. The next topic is the nominating committee, and this is another one that you know, has had a bit of discussion this week, both in the presentations on Monday, and you know, obviously it's an ongoing area. Obviously the community wants to make sure that it has the very best board directors, and wants to know that the processes that are used in the nominating committee are the best possible. One of the topics is what's the skill set of the board, and then one of the issues is we've got to be careful the board's not being overly prescriptive, and saying, you know, we want a person that speaks a particular language and is an expert on a particular topic and has a certain height and a certain gender, etc. Yeah, we're trying to provide that advice in a way that is helpful to the nominating committee, but also doesn't constrain them and ensures they have the opportunity to provide the best directors possible. Next slide. So conflicts of interest and ethics, this is probably the topic that the Board Governance Committee, again, has spent the most time on this week. You know, again, it's something we're taking very seriously. I probably don't need to say any more. The only comment I will make is that when we're looking at this issue and as part of us sort of evolving the practices of the board, in some cases we may identify a potential conflict and we review that, and in many cases we can identify mitigating factors, and certainly people that are familiar with the legal world and law firms as examples, or accounting firms. These firms often have different projects and different clients, and there are very strict processes put in place, often referred to as sort of ethics rules or guidelines or commitments, sometimes referred to as Chinese walls, between different parts of an organisation. So one of the things the Board Ethics and Conflicts Committee has been doing is giving guidance to directors to say, this is something that may be perceived to be a conflict unless you take some steps to firewall or isolate your activity in a big organisation from another activity in a big organisation that may relate to ICANN. So you may see some directors move from, at a moment in time, they may recuse themselves from a particular issue, and then sometime in future they may talk on the same issue. And that is because they may have put in a mechanism or a process or steps to deal with that issue. So I just want to make sure it's a continuing process, and you should expect directors to perhaps on some issues that may be the same topic at an instant of time, they may be considered to have a conflict, and at another instant of time, they may not. Next slide. Another thing that the board routinely does is do an assessment of its own skills and assessment of its own performance. We have done that in past years under the leadership of Peter Dengate Thrush. I think we've conducted at least two of these reviews. One of the things that was identified is that we've been using sort of professional company of directors bodies to do these reviews for us. And in many cases, they use very corporate terminology when they're seeking questionnaires of board directors. And because our board's very diverse and many have not come from a corporate background, those questions are not always understood. And so one of the things we're doing before we send out the questionnaire again this year is just look at language and see, can we make this language more understandable to the current board before sending out that questionnaire. And then the next slide. Yeah, one of the activities of the Board Governance Committee is managing the selection processes for chair and vice chair and board committees, etc. The next time we really look at that will be after the supporting organisations have updated their board directors. We have two directors' positions that have been considered. One is from the CCNSO, and that is seat is held by Mike Silver, and he's been returned. And the other seat is held by Ray Polzak from the Address Supporting Organisation. That is still in the decision in that area, still under work in the supporting organisation. If there is a change, then we would consider what committee changes that we would need to make prior to the annual general meeting. Next slide. And at this meeting we also recommended, the composition and the charter for the DNS Risk Management Framework Working Group, and we've recommended an action for the board meeting later today. And that's all, so plenty of things happening, Steve.
Thank you. You've got your plate very, very full, because in addition to chairing the Board Governance Committee, you're also vice chair and enormously helpful to the job that I struggled to try to keep up with. So thank you. Any questions?
I was waiting for the line to shorten. My name is Marilyn Cade. I have several questions, and let me see if I can do the overarching one first and then go to the specific. First of all, I want to ask the board members to refer to John Berard's comments yesterday from the BC, and I'm going to briefly describe them. They referenced the business constituency's broad discussion about conflicts. He noted the impact of that on the board, on the selection of board members from the nominating committee. It is our view that board members probably will have conflicts because we need a board that also understands. We need a mix, I think was his point, of members from the community that have deep understanding, as well as board members who come into the process from outside of ICANN. And we wanted to be clear that we do not want the pendulum to swing too far in the other direction and cost the community the knowledge and expertise and experience that members of the community bring. From my personal point of view, I think it's possible that we are being so prescriptive in how we describe the code of conduct that we are confusing people. And I will give you an example. You know, I'm from business, and I meet with government representatives, and very often I meet with those government representatives when there is an issue on a policy that the government representative is considering, such as in privacy or transfer of data, that has an impact on my clients. Well, I understand the rules, and I understand that I don't buy them a meal or buy them coffee or talk about the things that I should not be talking about. And if they meet with me, they publish a little short notice describing what we talked about, and that is published publicly. And I know that, and I expect it. And I'd like us to understand as a community that the code of conduct is about us, not just a reflection on staff and board, but that we need to be embracing a code of conduct. So I think in the report you've made, one concern that I'm seeing is we seem to be going very, very prescriptive in the conflicts of interest discussion on how people can interact and when they can interact. And I don't think we are impressing upon the helping the community to gain a deep awareness of what their part in this is. So it was hard for me to find any of that referenced in the materials, Bruce, but that's my feedback to the committee
so
on that.
Just being specific, Marilyn, you mean the materials that were posted on Monday?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to now go to more particular two particular topics. I really appreciate the recognition that you gave to the, I would say, much improved and enhanced interactions that are developing between the different parts of ICANN. However, I would ask you, if you don't mind, to use the term GNSO Council when you are referencing interactions by the GNSO Council with another part of the community, and to use the term GNSO when you are referencing actually the full GNSO. That would be very helpful to me.
And I think both of those types of interactions are happening. So
yes.
I understand the distinction, but I don't think it's limited to either one.
And that was the point I wanted to make. I think that actually both are happening and both are very important. And I made that point so that I can talk about recommendation 20. If we can talk a little bit about recommendation 20, the purpose of recommendation 20, as I understood it, is so that it is clear that at the policy development level, we are doing all that we could and should to not only put forward policy proposals, but to fully consider them. And to fully consider their implications and to do the kinds of outreach we need to do. So GNSO Policy Council, working groups that come from the community to support the Policy Council's recommendations, interactions with the rest of the community, a public comment process. I think one thing that seems to me to be missing, perhaps before we do give the recommendation to the board, I'm not sure we are doing an implementation assessment before we hand the approved policy to the board approves it, and then it goes to staff. And I'm seeing that the counselors are sometimes confused about whether something is a implementation action, and therefore it does not need to come back to the council. I think there may be a better understanding that could be developed in that particular phase before the approved policy goes to the board for final acceptance.
Let me intercede here. You're making what I think is quite an important point in two respects. One is we've heard the dialogue about whether or not some things that are genuinely policy are slipped into the implementation cycle. And then the other aspect, which is just in a sense a pragmatic business process issue of when somebody makes a recommendation, do we know what the consequences, do we know what the cost will be, do we know where it's going to go and so forth. And I'm quite sensitized to that and trying to work through broadly, not just in this context. So let me suggest we'll take that on board, but this is probably not the best forum for working out the next level of details.
Thank you. I just wanted to provide that feedback on recommendation 20.
That?
Thank you. Is that okay?
I didn't mean to preempt you there, Bruce, but Felice?
Phyllis Yilmaz, ICANN staff, reading a question from George Krikos, Leap of Faith Financial Services. Why not open a public comment period for ombudsman review? Such a comment period should solicit feedback from all prior users of the ombudsman, complainants, respondents, email them, as well as the general public. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further? Okay. Thank you very much. We move on. There will be no reports from the Compensation Committee or the Executive Committee. The work of the Compensation Committee is personnel sensitive, and the Executive Committee did not actually have anything interesting to report on. We've tried very hard not to have the Executive Committee be very active because it tends to be a substitute for the full processes of the board, and we do that sparingly. So for the Finance Committee, Shireen Shalabi.
Good morning, everybody. I will give you now a report of the Finance Committee activities throughout this year. First, I'd like to note the membership of the committee, which are Sebastian Bachelet, Krista Spain, George Sadowski, and myself. We are also supported by Akram Atala and Xavier Calvez. Can you move to the next slide? We've had so far quite a few meetings, beginning back in September and October 2011, and then in January and March 2012. We looked at the following things and provided guidance to the ICANN on following finance matters. First, the budget. We reviewed the budget framework prior to being posted and prior to public comments. We also looked at the processes for the SOs and ACs to request additional budget. Excuse me. Another activity is we looked at our disbursement policy and we suggested some amendments to those. We then reviewed, and we do this on a very regular basis, reviewing our reserve fund to make sure we look at the performance from one aspect and another aspect to make sure that it is consistent, that the investment is consistent with our policy. Another activity was looking at the 990 schedule. This is the return that we have to do as a corporation by the 30th of June, and we want to make sure that the deadline is met. So we're looking at this and monitoring this very closely. Can you move on to the next slide, please? Then the big item really that is concerning us in addition to the budget and other things is the FSR implementation, which I must say has been a source of frustration for everyone in the community and in the Finance Committee as well as management. To be candid, I would say the implementation plans were very optimistic. I think the timescales were underestimated. the complexity was underestimated, and the resources required to achieve the job was underestimated. The question is, what do you do in those circumstances from a finance committee point of view? And we looked at this. We did suggest evaluation on the implementation itself from a data input point of view, an analysis point of view, and a reporting point of view. At the moment, it is very complex. It needs to be simplified, and reports need to be out to the community. We also looked at the team and the resources required, and we looked at the mix between consultants and permanent staff and recommended improvements to the finance team. And we also looked at the timeline to complete such improvements. This is, in my view, probably the most difficult one. We're almost doing catch-up. Remember, we went through a very long period without a CFO. Now we have a CFO, and I think I will ask all of you to help and give him the time needed to get this job right. He's working very fast. He's recruiting people. He's on the right track. There's nothing more we can do at this stage other than give help, advice, support, and understanding. This is difficult to do, but I would really request that from everyone. This completes my quick report to everyone. I will take any questions at this stage.
Thank you. In the interest of time, let me ask you to be brief, and we need to move along. We're filling up. Thank you.
On behalf of the BC, I just need to understand the do I understand from your report that when you say the SSR implementation?
FSR,
thank you. We can skip that. I want to make a comment to the board on behalf of the CSG leadership about the special budget requests that were submitted from the constituencies and stakeholder groups. It's important for the board to understand and for the new CFO to have the history of why this is so important. The two previous submissions of funding somehow fell through the cracks after commitments were made. It's very important they do not fall through the cracks this time. Last year, in last year's budget, you spent $571,000 on what you called SOAC funding. That is actually AC funding. There was no SO funding in the terms of services directly to the SGs and constituencies. The budget for the policy work is not in that pot of money. So, yes, you spent a lot of money appropriately on the GNSO policy council's work and the community's policy work, but none of the $571,000 went to building the stakeholders. So the pot of money today is $500 million. Last year you spent $571. You have a budget request from us of over about $730,000, and that does not include the GAC request. So, big challenges, and Xavier is doing a fantastic job, but the message I'm sending to you is building the constituencies and the stakeholder groups is vitally important. We're doing our part, and we are self-funding, but those requests for funding are legitimate requests. There is a huge, there's a significant amount in that 700 plus that, of course, comes through the from the RALOs and the ALAC. I'm focusing on the support requested from the constituencies and the SGs and just noting it as having implications since the two previous requests with what we thought were commitments. And if you're interested, you can watch the video of the exchange during the Brussels meeting.
Thank you. Anything else? Thank you very much, Shireen. Global Relationships, Gonzalo Navarro.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, everyone. this is the presentation of the Global Relationship Committee. So this is, I guess, one of the most largest committees in the board. It's composed by Bertrand LaChapelle, Chris Spain, Erika Mann, George Sadowski, Kwa Wei Wu, and we have as an observer, Bill Graham and Mike Silver. For this meeting, we were supported by Jamie Hedlund, Rodrigo La Parra, and Nigel Hickson. And the next slide is going to introduce you the work that we have done during the last couple of months. in its scope, the Global Relationship Committee is meant to assist the board in the international arena. And so therefore, we deal with a lot of international meetings, and we try to provide our expert advice in order to deal with these meetings and to assist the board to achieve the goals that we are thinking for each one of them. I would like to thank my colleagues in the BRC and the staff, because maybe the three first points are presenting some meetings that you can see or that where we are going, but they represent an enormous load of work, and the preparation of each one is comprised really heavy work. So thanks to my colleagues and to staff, and that. Thank you. Please, can you come back to the last slide, please? Thank you. Basically, the most important task that we have faced during the last couple of months or even more is to develop a tool for the community in order to prepare the discussions for what we... I have to say it's one of the most important topics for our community, which is internationalization. Since I came to the board, I have to say that this is one of the topics that I was I've been talking with the community more fiercely, and finally we can present a survey which is meant to it's going to give us enough information to assist the board and staff in order to prepare this organization for the next step, which is an enhanced. Because I don't like the term internationalization, because it doesn't mean exactly that's not representing exactly what this organization is, because we are inserted in the international arena. However, what we are doing, or what we need to do, is to enhance that participation, or that the role of ICANN, or to better understand the role of ICANN in the international community. So therefore, we prepared this document, and I would like to encourage our community to take more than 10 minutes to answer that survey, but it's going to be really, really, really useful for us. And at the end, it's going to be really, really useful for this community, because it's meant to help us to understand in a better way our role and to prepare our participation. So thank you. One more thing. The survey is going to be launched during the next week.
Thank you. Marilyn.
My name is Marilyn Cade. Yesterday, at an ad hoc breakfast of chairs of the various groups that are elected leadership, we discussed ways to strengthen and improve the flow of understanding from the community to the board, and the idea that perhaps we should have an interaction between those chairs. There aren't that many of us. I think it's about 12, including the ASO, the CCNSO, the GAC, the five elected chairs from the constituencies in the non-commercial stakeholder group and the two chairs of the stakeholder group and the ALAC. I reviewed the survey that was done on satisfaction. I'm very familiar with its results, and the board should be as well. That was not an appropriate approach to ask the community complex questions. Statistical polls are not the way to communicate with our community. There are other mechanisms, and I will raise a question about using a poll, which is what this is, I guess. I would know, although I'm an elected chair, haven't seen it. Don't know how I'm going to vitalize response broadly from global business to it. And I'd like to contribute to making it a success. But, you know, if you ask questions and you don't provide enough information first about the purpose of the question, in my years of running business and starting and running ad hoc organizations and associations, I've learned that there are a variety of tools. And one of them is qualitative analysis first. So I would be cautious myself. One final quick anecdote. It might be helpful to know. In the first round of responses to the Green Paper, the Department of Commerce received, I'll get the numbers wrong, but not the facts generally, over 400 responses. 121 of them came from one person.
Thank you. Jean-Jacques.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation about the work of the global partnerships. I have a remark and a question about that. I think the importance of whatever you call it, internationalization or globalization or anything else. By the way, I'm Jean-Jacques Subrenard, a member of the ALAC. I think that what is at stake is the organization sufficiently geared to the challenges of that particular area of global partnerships? The setting up of the Committee on Global Partnerships was of great importance in that it allowed for board oversight on an area in which traditionally the CEO and the staff had been almost alone in operating. So that was a very useful component. But I think maybe it's time to look a bit further than that and to have somehow a greater involvement of the board in also not conducting, perhaps, because that's the role of the CEO, but at least in being more prescriptive and perhaps more involved than just oversight of what is done and therefore of what is already done. 3 years ago, a member of the board then had made a suggestion that perhaps there could be a reinforcement of this role by designating the vice chair of the board as the de facto chair of the Global Partnerships Committee when that would be established. That's one point. Another point which perhaps would be worth looking into is that this committee would involve itself as necessary into the action of global partnerships. Because what I see after several years of experience, is that the remit of the CEO is so wide that, especially in international relations, sometimes there is some difficulty in following up. So that was a proposal to have a look at what was proposed 3 years ago. Thanks.
Thank you. Gonzalo?
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Well, your experience is appreciated and missed in this board. You're right, and we need to get more involvement. I really appreciate the fact that maybe this committee is composed, maybe I'm going to be really enthusiastic here, but it's kind of a dream team. It's composed by really experienced people in the international field, And I think that we will make a productive work for this community, and the survey and the involvement with the staff in order to produce this survey, because I was not mentioning that a lot of the components of this survey are coming from recommendations from the staff. So I think that we will have a really, really good product, and with interaction of the community, which is in the important part of this exercise, we are going to be fine, and therefore I appreciate your suggestion.
Thank you. Any other comments? Thank you very much, Gonzalo. As you mentioned, you have what we think is the largest committee, and there's quite a bit of work that is involved. We move on to the IANA committee. Kuo Wei Wu.
Chair, can I report this in Chinese or Taiwanese?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, sorry about it. Well, whatever. Good morning, everyone. Let me speak at least a little bit in Chinese for all of you. 早安, 大家好. Okay, now this is my report. Let's go to the next page, please. Next page.
Oh, sorry.
The committee member, basically I'm the chair, and then Bertrand and Bill and Thomas Netron, and also the Susan Wolf. And we are also very happy for the meeting in the San Jose. We also have a certain of the observer from the other board member, like Gonzalo and also the Thomas Russell, and they are joining into our meeting. Next page, please. This is the first meeting after the Senegal, and basically the reason is because after the Dakar, we decided to let the IANA office to prepare the proposal for NDIA contracts. So this is the first meeting we have after the Dakar. And I think all the committee members are presented for this meeting next. And the whole board basically was involved in the overseeing of the development of the ICANN bid for the IANA contract, of course. And this is not only in the IANA committee at the same time, it's in the BGRC, also in the whole board. And the next one, actually, we are reviewing the introduce of the new IPv6 material of the ICANN website to show the ICANN supporting of the IPv6 progress. I think that is a very important part. You know, as you know, you know, the ICANN, the functionality is not only the name industry, also the regarding for the number. And so we like to show strongly support of the IPv6 progress. The next one, we actually is a reviewing the current of the .int policies, because you might be know that the ICANN actually is a operate the .int registry in operations. So we like to see how they work, and also we try to think about if there is any help for the, you know, the what is the IGO we are talking about. Next page. Next one. And also we're reviewing the next 6 months trend of the IANA functionality of the activities. In the past, usually we only have a one shot of the IANA report on every meeting. And we thought about, we come out with a 6 months activity so we can see the trend. And also we can look around the IANA office walkthrough. And then that would be give us more information about, you know, how this IANA office is in operations. The next one, actually, we also try to explain, you know, talking about the ICANN actual relationship with ISO 3166-1. You know, I think this is a good to let all the committee understand. Actually, ICANN was also involved in the ISO 3166-MA. The next one is we also discussion about the delegation and redelegation of the approval process. And as you know, we knew this is a very sensitive one, so we are looking for the CCNS, also the GAC advice. And so we can make this process, you know, the authority basically is to go to the CCNS, also the GAC. Next one, please. That's about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any comments? Oh, boy. Public Participation Committee, Sebastian Bachelet.
Thank you. I will give my presentation in French.
Gracias. Thank you. The Participation Committee. Following slide, Mr. Chair, can you please show me the following slide, please? The committee members are Q Wei, Mike Silver, Gonzalo Navarro, Thomas Knighton, Chris Spain, and myself, Sebastian Bachelet. Here are the pictures very quickly. Next slide, please. The main issues that the committee deals with are the public participation processes, future ICANN meetings and their organizations, online participation tools, and issues related to awareness and engagement of the following participants. Next slide, please. Some of our recent activities. The committee has supervised public comments related to the ATRT, the Accountability and Transparency Review Team. This includes recommendations 15, 16, 17, and 21, which we are implementing, but we continue to work on these issues, and I would like to receive your feedback. Recommendation 18 is in progress. It is a recommendation that is related to language services, translation, interpretation, etc. We are also working with the community using all of these services. We have put a subgroup into practice to work on future ICANN meetings. I hope to see the positive results in Prague, which will be the next ICANN meeting. Next slide, please. The following items in our agenda, the new formula for the website. This week we heard a little bit about the new website, the new design that this website has, and we would really like to have your point of view on this. We have also worked on receiving the newcomers, which have been a lot. And the last point is the technical improvements for public forum interface. To sum up my presentation, I would like to thank the staff that helps us in these public participation processes, and they help us in all of these processes. And I would especially like to thank Philippe Yilmaz. Getting involved using the tools that are at our disposal, and if this is not enough, asking for help. There will always be someone in the community willing to help us. The third item is we at ICANN love problems. Well, not that much, but having an important involvement in our meetings is an interesting problem. For those of you who come from far away, thank you very much. For those who are in the region and came here, thank you also. For those of you who are here for the first time, thank you very much, and do come back. You will always be welcome. Thank you.
Jean-Jacques.
Thank you, Chair. This is Jean-Jacques Subrunat, a member of the ALAC. Sébastien, I'd like to offer a remark and put a question. The remark is that this time again I've seen the progress accomplished in public participation and outreach. Things such as translation, remote participation have indeed greatly improved, and this is very encouraging. My question is about the ICANN meetings. You just announced, Sébastien, that there would be some presentation about the way forward in Prague. But could you give a sense to the community right now as to what the board is thinking of? Was it to maintain the rhythm of three major meetings a year, as we know them now, or would it be one or two ICANN meetings a year, plus perhaps a combination of regional meetings? Could you give us a sense of what the board is looking at now?
Yeah, this thank you for the question, Jean-Jacques. It's obviously a very important point you are raising, but we are still working on all those issues. For the moment, what we want to try is to have, I would say, a better organized and predictable meeting. And that's what we concentrate our efforts for the next meeting. Parallel, we are looking at the broad picture. But we are working at the broad picture from so many times that we decide to concentrate on some issues who are important. For example, how the Monday it's organized, how the Thursday it's organized, to allow better participation and, I will say, less clash in the agenda, and the possibility to provide you with, I would say, early warning on what will happen during this day and how it will be organized. And the other subject, as you the one you raised, is on the topic, but we have no yet really any proposal about that yet. Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Siva Subramanian. I'm from Epiralo, speaking as an individual. Yesterday at the public forum, I saw several valuable points raised by Jean-Jacques, Marlene Sade, and the senior participants of ICANN. But I have a problem seeing them on this side of the table. So in a public forum, all of them, they have roles in ICANN, and they have every privilege to ask for a seat on the other side of the table. And the public forum could have been a forum for newcomers or general participants who don't have a role. Is there a possibility that ICANN could think of a cross-constituency forum where participants with roles could exchange views and leave the public forum for general public? So that's just a thought. Thank you.
May I just
please
very briefly? We always struggle about the layout of the room. Personally, I don't like to be seated here and in a theater. I am not doing a representation. But in the same time, I think really meetings are organized to have a lot of interaction. Then don't focus on just one single. And maybe this one it's organized to have an interaction between the broad community and the board. I am not talking about the layout of the room, but this goal. And the other interaction are done during the other part of the meetings. But we take that into account. Thank you.
My name is Marilyn Cade. I'm going to comment on a conversation that was an exchange between at the chair's ad hoc breakfast yesterday that actually has relevance to the question that was just asked. our discussion included what may come to, so I'm just mentioning this to you, come to your committee, Sebastian, as a request for additional small rooms and adjustments where what I will call ad hoc exchanges can develop. Because one of the things we've learned is that from time to time, a group like the nominating committee or someone else finds out while they're at ICANN in the ICANN scheduled meeting that they need to continue a bilateral or they need to meet so they can enhance their understanding. But to so that may come to you all as a question about could that be accommodated in future ICANN meetings. It is accommodated at the IGF, by the way. It's also accommodated at the ITU Swiss Action Line Forum by just setting aside rooms that you can schedule. That's the a comment related to this. ICANN's historian, having attended all meetings but one, we used to have something, and you will recall this, called a General Assembly that happened at the beginning of the meeting. And actually, within just the GNSO chairs, I have proposed that we consider having a two-hour meeting of the nature you're referring to on the weekend so that people could have that cross-discussion. So it's merely a comment for what it's worth. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris?
Good morning. I'm sorry to take the microphone and take up more time. We're now running half an hour late. This is not a public forum. This is committee reports. Statements at this microphone should be related specifically to questions to the committees about their reports. Thank you.
Thank you for that reminder, Chris. All right. I think we're done with that. The Risk Committee report from Mike Silber, please.
Thank you, Chair. If we can move to the next slide. I think I contest with Gonzalo in having the largest committee. I also have the honour of two former Risk Committee chairs still serving on the Risk Committee, as well as the board chair and vice chair. So one might suggest that I have the dubious honour of herding the biggest cats in the room. Obviously, this is an important committee. If we can move to the next slide. So this, the action since Dakar, we met at the end of February, looking specifically at new GTLD program updates, litigation readiness, and security issues, including information security incident response planning, and discussion relating to various threats against root servers. Next slide. Met again on 11 March, looking at DDoS threat update, DNS risk management activities and assessment, and the work plan for upcoming meetings. Next slide. And I'm more than happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much.
And
you do a good job of herding this large cat. Structural Improvements Committee, Ray Polzak.
Thank you, Steve. There was a comment made much earlier in the morning by Marilyn as far as the utility of these reports and having people present. And Marilyn noted that at the beginning of the hour, there's not very many people here. However, Marilyn, I would tend to agree with you. It's quality and not quantity that counts a lot of times. It's sort of like when you go to the church, and if there are a lot of people there, the sermon is very long. And if there's not so many people there, the sermon is quite a bit shorter. But in the end, it's effective more so with the shorter sermon because you get to the point faster. I would say that the metaphor extending to here is that when it's a few people in the room, they are all paying attention. The more people you get in the room, the more email that gets sent. So. Any event, here's who we are. I'm not going to read names. You know names. However, not listed on there are some important people. First of all, Olaf Nordling, who provides support, and Olaf has pulled 15 different ways from Sunday, so I do not get him full time. Recently, I've been having a lot of support from David Olive and Rob Hogarth. We've been working through some matters. And yesterday, Heidi found out that she's going to get some more job security. So we're moving along. So if you could go to... And the other thing about these things is I never know if I'm going to be first or last, because it's either the alphabetical order or reverse alphabetical order. You never know if you're standing at a lectern or you're sitting up here. And today we have a new feature. We have the chair demonstrating his ability to change slides. So... At least you know he's awake. So, anyway, this is the current status of the reviews. As you can see, things are moving along. If you could push the button one more time, Steve, please. Thank you. One more time. Get that box up there. Okay. Under reviews, the ASO review is well underway. In fact, it's the independent review portion has completed. I single out the ASO review because the ASO review, under the provisions of the ASO MOU, says that it will be conducted by the NRO. And so I suspect that there may be some report on that when the ASO report is given this morning, so I won't go into the details on it, other than to say that it's been progressed very well, and there's some things that have been done in this review that are going to help set the model for the next round of reviews. The other thing is that with regards to the ALAC, we had a short meeting to discuss the finalization of the implementation activities, and I'm not going to go into those. Olivier assured me this morning that he's got about a half hour to tell you about those, so... I'll leave that to him. The TLG report is still in progress, and the RSAC is not quite into implementation yet. With regard to the far left of the screen, you see the initial work for the next round. We have begun that. At our meeting in Dakar, I did report that we were actually beginning to do work then, and we were starting to work on criteria and so forth. Could you push a button, please, Steve? In regards to the TLG review, one of the things that came out of it was the overall arching question about how does the board get the advice it needs when it needs it? And so as a result of that, the committee is also looking into the whole mechanism by which the board receives advice. And so we are going to continue to do work on that. One more time, please, Steve. And so, as I said, we are planning for future reviews. Slide, please. Okay. Hopefully, by the time we get here in about 2-3 months, everything will be into the implementation phase. And we'll be into the assessment of effects. Could you push the button twice, I think? Yeah. Okay. And one of the important things we're doing in regard, and I brought this up last time, and actually it's a follow-on from work we did about a year and a half ago with regards to developing criteria for the recognition of new constituencies. There's been a significant amount of work that's been done to work on other criteria. Right now we're looking at the stakeholder groups. I know I promised last time that we would be able to get together to talk about it, however... circumstances precluded that from happening, so please feel assured that you are going to be consulted, and you will be consulted when I feel that we have something meaningful that we can sit down at the table and talk. But I want to give you an example of what we're talking about here in terms of criteria, because this plays into how the reviews should be done. One of the problems with the current review structure is that the terms of reference and the criteria were more or less developed by the consultant that was hired to do the job, and so there wasn't any input from the community as far as what you should look at. There was no direction given, and so we're taking the opposite approach, which is the board, staff, and community will develop the criteria, and it'll be handed to them and says, here, do this. And as you know, these reviews are vertical reviews. And so people think, well, this is a stovepipe, because the horizontal reviews are the AOC reviews. Well, Yes, this is a stovepipe review to a certain extent because we have to look at the way the organization that's being reviewed functions. However, part of the way that organization functions is how effective it is. So there, we'll be developing criteria that we can do some measures of organizational function effectiveness. We are also developing criteria that look towards how the organization interacts with other constituent organizations in ICANN, what kind of liaisons they may have, what kind of relationships they may have established, joint meetings, how their activities intersect, and so forth. This is particularly important when you look at the ALAC, which is not a policymaking body, but has a strong input into the policymaking in all the SOs. And so how does that happen? How does the ASO, for example, reach into the ALAC to broaden their policymaking base? How does the ALAC effectively put members, people into those policy bodies to make the policy base broader? So those are the kinds of interaction type things we need to look at. And at the same time, we're going to be developing very, very precise criteria that are objective in nature so that some of the things that you have to look at, you can actually have little yes-no type questions. I'll give you a couple quick examples. For example, in the area of elections and voting, such a criteria could be for each election, was a notice sent to membership at least 30 days before voting? Or another one would be for each election, was membership notified of opportunity to submit candidacy nominations? You know, those kinds of questions. So those are very precise questions that can be answered a yes or a no, but they go towards an overall evaluation about how the election was conducted. And so by doing some of these things in a score sheet type of manner, it facilitates the gathering of data and allows analysis to be done. Now, the other thing that we're looking forward to with these criteria as it gets developed is that the individual supporting organizations and advisory committees can then take these criteria and use them for their own self-evaluation as they progress. Now, the timeline you see here was developed in thought process that this was a 3-year cycle. Well, it's actually a 5-year cycle, as we know, and that was changed in the middle of the review period. So we're looking at changing that to an extent that where we would make sure that there's at least a 2-year period of time after the implementation has taken place where the organization operates and actually bakes it in, if you will, and learns from how it works. And then at the end of these 2 years, there would be a period of assessment that would be done internally. It may be something that we haven't figured this out exactly yet, whether the organization would do it itself or would the board cause something to happen. We haven't figured this quite out yet. But the idea is that we take a look at ourselves and say, how have we been doing? And then as a result of that, we take the criteria, which some of these things may have to change because the organization has evolved and changed. But then what we do is we construct the terms of reference for the next review so that at the end of the 5th year, we are ready set to go to start over again, which is go find a contractor and then conduct a review. One other change is that we're not going to have the board form a working group to write a report on the report. It seems rather redundant. Instead, one of the lessons we're learning out of the ASO review is to provide the opportunity for the reviewed organization and the reviewers to sit down together and have a discussion to make sure things are clarified and to make sure that there's no misunderstandings, and so that when the public comment period begins, that one of the first comments out of the door would be from the reviewed organization. Here's what we did type of thing. And so it's also something that happened during the SSAC review. The ESAC conducted its own internal review using the same criteria as a reviewer about at the same time that a reviewer was reviewing the ESAC. And so they sat down and side by side and compared notes and so found where we have agreement, where we have disagreement. And those were noted into the final report. And I will note also that the ESAC, because of this process, was able to say very clearly, very fast, we're done. And they went through and it did their implementations. And so that should be the goal for all of the organizations.
Could you push the button, please, Steve? Okay, so I've just gone and covered that topic. Next slide. Excuse me, a button. Yeah. One more. Yeah. And I've just gone through the timelines. Next one. And the advice approach, basically what we're looking at there is that the board can receive advice internally or externally. Internally, you can do it from a standpoint of standing committees like the ESAC or RSAC. And also, you can do it internally in an ad hoc nature by forming working groups like the Jazz Working Group and so forth. Externally, it's done by either engaging consultants for a specific task, which would be an ad hoc task, to form a longer-term relationship would then require an understanding between ICANN and the particular organization that it wants to establish a relationship with. And then you have the decision process to go through about whether or not to place non-voting representatives on the board of directors. So that's some of the things we're looking at there. And a slide. I will now say thank you. And Marilyn, I will entertain your question.
Marilyn, thank you for rising to the occasion.
I have a date question, I think. Could you just refresh our expectation of when we would expect the GNSO assessment to launch?
The target is to do it next year. However, I'm not going to rush to do it. I want to get this work done completely. Having a firm plan in place is an important thing. Technically, we could start on the 1st of January. That's not going to happen, probably. But we do need to get it underway. But then the GNSO will have its five-year cycle. And as we develop a timeline, we'll be coordinating it with the community. So you'll be able to look at those milestones and actually do some predictions of where things will be. But it'll be sometime next year as we go forward. I would think that by the time we get to the meeting in Prague, we'll have a pretty good grasp of when that's going to happen.
So, again, if you could refresh my memory, the GNSO was the first organization reviewed. So will we be the first in the new cycle?
Could be.
Okay.
I don't know. The GNSO operated at a fantastic disadvantage in that they were the first one, and there's a whole heck of a lot of lessons learned and grinding out and things that happened there. And so... we don't want to experience that bad experience again, if you would.
I echo that thought. Thank you.
So, if there's nothing else, turn it back to you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ray. One more that is not listed on that slide, but which I indicated before, George Sadowski, on behalf of the CEO Search Committee.
Thank you, Steve. There are no PowerPoint slides for this presentation. You may remember that Vince Cerf, who was chair of the board for some time, had a phrase, power corrupts and PowerPoint corrupts, absolutely. I subscribe to that. I'm the chair of the CEO Search Committee. It's a temporary committee. I hope we'll be out of business in a couple of months. We have eight people on the committee, which ties for the largest committee of the board. My colleagues on the committee are Bertrand de la Chapelle, Ray Polzak, Ramaraj Rajasekhar, Krista Spain, Erica Mann, Shireen Shalabi, and Steve Crocker, supported by the indefatigable Diane Schroeder from staff. Our goal is to locate suitable candidates to find a CEO to lead ICANN effective July 1st. We were established in October. We had a session in Dakar in which we presented the board's initial ideas regarding the CEO, the skills, the responsibilities of the job. We had public participation in that session. We opened a mailing list to obtain more comments regarding what we should be looking for and how we should be viewing our job. We translated what we got into a more coherent set of of requirements and responsibilities. We went to a tender process to engage a search firm to help us. Odgars Berntsen of Brussels was selected and has proven to be, I believe, a very good choice. Among other things in the search, we put an ad in The Economist. We relied upon the community to find candidates, and Odgars Berntsen had its own search methodology to produce still more candidates. So what happened? First, we received well over 100 responses. We put every candidate through the same process to determine whether we should be looking further at them or not. Of the more than 100, we got about 30 that were tagged for further investigation, promising. Quite a few of these candidates, by the way, had successful, distinguished careers. And, in fact, many that were rejected had also quite successful careers, but in the wrong direction and simply didn't meet the profile that we were looking for. So then the job is to narrow the 30 or so to one, and it's a painful process. We had four steps. First, the committee met for telephone interviews with a selected subset of the 30. Telephone interviews lasted an hour. They were relatively intense. We learned a fair amount about the candidates from that. Second, we selected a subset of those candidates for face-to-face interviews. Those are largely done. The next phase will be reference checking of the candidates, both by Odgars Berntsen and the committee. And then finally, there will be in-depth conversations with the full ICANN board. I'd like to point out that the search committee searches and the board decides. thank you. I don't want to say a lot more, except I'd like to make some observations which are more informal and slightly personal. A lot more can be said, and we're late. This process is really important for ICANN. There's a mantra in the United States saying that the primary job of the board is to hire the CEO, to choose the CEO and make sure the CEO performs. This CEO job is difficult. And for corroboration, if you don't believe it, just ask the incumbent or any of the previous occupants of the job. ICANN is a very complex organization. It's multidimensional. It has aspects of a for-profit organization. It has aspects of a not-for-profit organization. The CEO can't be an expert in everything. We know that, although we assume it at the beginning stages of a search. You always look for God, somebody who can do everything, and you find that he's not available. He or she is not available, or it is not available, I don't know, whatever your preference is. What's an interesting part of the search is that as we move from lists of characteristics and skills to individuals, specific individuals, we then look at combinations, which you can't really predict when you're setting requirements. And looking at individuals has helped us sharpen our preferences and our notion of what's important and what's not important and what can be achieved and what may not be able to be achieved. Next observation is something Rob Hall brought up yesterday. There is an apparent contradiction between transparency and confidentiality, but in fact it's not a contradiction. What we have aimed to do is to keep the process as open as possible and as transparent as possible, subject to strictly maintaining the confidentiality of the candidates. In other words, the algorithm is available, the data are not. Elimination of candidates is difficult. In fact, it gets more difficult over time because as you have to make a choice from N candidates to N minus one candidates, you have to eliminate somebody who is well qualified. And it becomes more difficult as you go up to the final result. And it's almost as an emotional component to this, to having to say no to candidates whom you know are good, and you wish that there are more positions. You wish you could do something to capture the skills and energy and competence of all of the candidates. But that's not our job. Our job is to narrow. We're in the process now, and we hope to recommend a final slate to the board. Let me say fairly soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm a member of the committee, and I know intimately firsthand how hard we have been working, and what an excellent job George has been doing, providing guidance and providing just an enormous amount of energy, making sure that we have all of the pieces of this under control. Any questions, any comments? Thank you very much. This brings the extended first session of the day to a close. I think we should take a brief stretch, but not a full break. So let's see. My watch says 9:39. Let's give it 60 seconds, and then we will reconvene and move rapidly, almost an hour behind schedule, I'm sorry to say, into the SO and AC committee reports. Chair reports. Thank you.
Thank you.